Tonight, remember me. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Speak thou to me. Oh, hallelujah. He will hear what cries tonight. Just tell him to speak to you. From the depths of your heart, you just sing it again. Speak thou to me, speak. Oh, yes, Lord. Oh, sing unto the angel tonight. Oh, my.
Speak now to me. Bow our heads and close our eyes, every heart centered upon him tonight. Knowing that where two or three is gathered together in his name, he is present. Oh, what a blessed opportunity that is for us. We've come with a purpose in our hearts to hear from him, to meet with him tonight. We worship him in spirit and in truth. We'd approach him in prayer. We have a couple of requests we would like to remember. We'd like to encourage you to believe also. If you have a special need, there's a little song that says, "Got any rivers you think are uncrossable? Got any mountains you can't tunnel through? God specializes tonight in things thought impossible. He can do what no other power can do." That's the God we serve, our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's just sing that little song as we approach him, and let us release our faith. Let's just get a hold of him, touch him with real faith tonight, and see all these problems fade away. See all these things that seem so great and standing before us like a great mountain like a good river or something we just can't seem to get over. But let's see him make a way where there is no way tonight. He's more than able to make a way where there is no way. Hallelujah. Oh, that's a privilege given unto us to believe. When we stand praying, whatsoever we ask the Father in his name, believe that we have received what we ask for, and we shall have it. Amen. God any river, you are uncrossable. You have any like that tonight? Got any mountains? Got any mountains you can't tunnel through? Oh, let's confess it tonight. God specializes. God specializes. Oh, and let us believe as we sing it. In things thought impossible, and he will do what no other power can do. Oh, let's lift our hands and worship of your spirit faith one more time. In one mind and one accord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You think. Oh, our God is greater than our problem tonight. Hallelujah. We serve a big God.
God, any mountains you can't turn it through.
Oh, why don't you trust him tonight?
God specializes.
Oh, he's a specialist in this.
In things thought impossible, and he will do.
Hallelujah. That's our God now.
What no other power.
As we look to him, believe, know that he can do what no other power can do. Hallelujah. Let's take our eyes off our problem and put it upon our God now. Know he's almighty, he's the omnipotent God. He asked Abraham one time, is there too anything too hard for the Lord? Bible says with God nothing is impossible. All things are possible to them that believe. Hallelujah. Glory be to God in the highest. Our brother Swift requests prayer for his daughter, Little Grace, tonight, who is suffering from some breathing problem that the doctors say requires surgery, and he's believing God for her complete deliverance. Also, Brother Kenny Nazar requests prayer for his mother, who is hemorrhaging and is presently warded in Ward 21 of the General Hospital. Prayer is also requested for the salvation of her soul. And you have a special need. He is able to meet all needs tonight. Hallelujah. Almighty God, as we stand in thy presence tonight, let's sing this little song, reminding ourselves of thy greatness, of thy being all-sufficient, You, the Almighty God, who loves us and cares for us, who says, cast our cares upon Him because He careth for us. And Father, knowing tonight that these who have cared to believe You, You care to prove Your word to them that believe, to show them that Your promises are yea and amen. That Lord God, You are mindful of our every need, and that if we would only trust You and believe You, oh God, You will bring it a pass in our lives. For dear God, anything that would help us to serve You, anything that would encourage us to believe and to be a better people, to be better Christians, oh God, to have a greater faith in Thy word, You are more than willing to do the exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. Lord God, that we might have these things, that we might stand, oh God, Father, believing You and seeing, dear God, that You will said we will not be ashamed. We will never be ashamed if we believe in our hearts and confess with our mouths. Oh my God, and as they stand here tonight, Father, with these needs, oh God, confessing that You are able to do these things, that You are able to meet every need, that You are able, oh God, Father, Lord God, to heal everyone that is sick, provide and supply every need, oh God, whatever it might be, whether it's a domestic problem, a financial need, a spiritual problem, whatever it is, if we are willing to confess that You are able to do this, if we are willing to stand and believe, dear God, hallelujah, You can bring it to pass in our lives. And oh God, as Your children stand here tonight, looking unto You, dear God, believing, trusting, holding fast to Your divine promise, hallelujah, praising You and thanking You for these things, Father. Oh God, as You are here present among us and know every need and every heart, dear God, and seeing the faith being expressed, Lord God, in the hearts of Your people, Lord. Lord God, You are able to meet every need that they will have, that they can leave this service with the witness, with the assurance, with the confidence. Oh God, hallelujah. Having no fear, having no doubt, but casting down these things, dear God, knowing, dear God, that You will meet it according to Your riches and glory. I pray, dear God, Lord, as I lay my hands upon these requests, Lord, for our brother Kenny's mother, in the name of Jesus Christ, Father, as You look upon him, Lord, as You see the faith in his heart, believing these things tonight, oh God, reaching out, Father, having confidence that You says when You stand praying, whatsoever You ask the Father in My name, hallelujah, He will give it unto you. And if you believe that you have received what You ask, you shall have it. Oh God, I pray, Lord, that He would find Him standing, Lord God, according to Your word. Hallelujah. That, dear God, You can give this to Him tonight, that He can go rejoicing on His way, knowing, dear God, You will not fail Him. Even Brother Swift, dear God, Lord God, who is trusting You and believing You, as this note says, I pray, dear God, as You look in his heart, Father, Lord, You will not just see, Lord, one who have the faith to send a note, but one who have the faith to stand upon God's promise. Hallelujah, to confess it, Lord, to believe it, for You prove Your word. Hallelujah, Lord, by them that believe. And I pray, oh God, in the name of Jesus Christ, Father, You drop that faith into his heart. Hallelujah, that faith will go to acting upon Your word. Hallelujah, You would come behind, yeah, God, and give witness, Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh God, that is how they saw the miracle, Lord, in the Old Testament and the New Testament. And I'll prove that You are still the same yesterday and today and forever. I pray, dear God, He would see the deliverance come to His daughter in the name of Jesus Christ. And Almighty God, even all these that stand with a need in their heart tonight, in the presence of God, standing in the need of prayer, looking unto You, oh God, drawing from that inexhaustible fountain, knowing that rock is here in speaking distance and in hearing distance, knowing that You said You will never leave us nor forsake us. Oh God, I pray, where faith is in attendance upon the word of God, that the Holy Spirit will just release the blessing, Lord God, just as they are believing and asking for these things, Father, that their God can leave this place comforted, Lord. They can leave this place satisfied. They can leave this place with the anchor in the soul, dear God.
knowing that you have heard and you have answered prayer tonight. For we pray and we ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ. And Almighty God, how we thank you for the opportunity to come and worship you tonight, to come into your presence, to receive your word. You know what we have need of, Father. Speak, Lord. Oh, as we sang, speak, thou Almighty One. Speak to each and every one of us tonight, and may faith come by hearing, and by hearing by the word. Yes. Let your will be revealed. Let the church be edified. Yes. Let hearts and minds be illuminated by the spoken word tonight, Lord. Let the people be lifted up, Lord, in a high realm. Oh, God, where the way can be made plain, that they can walk in this dark hour under the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Lord, seeing the way being made clear and the will of God unfolding and being so real in their hearts that they can walk in the center of that revealed will tonight. Lord God, may you grant it. You said, even as Peter says, we have not followed cunningly devised fables, but we are a more sure word of prophecy, unto which we do take heed tonight as a light. A light that shineth in a dark place. And how this hour is such a dark hour, Lord. But we thank you for the light that you have sent. Now we can walk in it, Lord. And may the God may bring us unto that perfect day. Let this prophetic word just keep unfolding to us, Lord. And bring us to that perfect faith. We pray and we ask you tonight, as we commit this service into your hands. For we pray and believe in Jesus' wonderful and precious name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. God, we should bless you. We'd like to invite your attention as we read tonight out of Matthew 13. You all happy to be in this house tonight?
Amen. Amen.
Let's read to verse 24. Amen. In Matthew 13, he's been speaking here many parables, and we have verses 3 to 9, he was speaking about the parable of the sower and the seed. And then he gives the interpretation after that. And then Matthew 18 to 24, then he explains that parable. And verse 24, he's speaking another parable here. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst thou not sow good seed in thy field? From where then hath it tears? He said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? And he said, nay, lest while you gather up the tears, you root up also the wheat with them, because it was sown among the wheat. Let both grow together until the harvest, and in the time of harvest I will say to the reapers, gather together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. And then dropping on to verse 36 to get the interpretation here, where then Jesus sent his multitudes away and went into the house, And the disciples came unto him, saying, Declare or explain unto us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them who do iniquity. You shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Let's pray again. Almighty God, take your word, Father, and open it up to us tonight. Open up our understanding, even to receive divine revelation by the Holy Spirit. Lord, how we pray for revelation, especially in this deceitful age that we are living in. Lord, we might be able to stand and be true Christians, holding fast the revealed word that Thou hast given unto us, standing in the faith. Grant it, Lord. If there be strangers or visitors, sometimes, Lord, people are not taught in the scriptures. Sometimes they have denominational concepts, failing to realize the only true authority is the Holy Scriptures. For he said, let every man would be a lie, but let God would be the truth. God, give us a heart to search the scriptures, to see whether these things be so, to believe what is written in the word. For he says, heaven will pass away, but not one jot or one tittle of my word shall anywise fail. But if you abide in me and my word abide in you, then ask what you will. So let that word stand out to us tonight. Dear God, if there be error, misunderstandings, wrong concepts, may that word just break it and wash it away and may be established in the truth. Grant it, Lord, may I grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. We pray and we ask it for thy honor and for thy glory. In Jesus' precious name, amen. God bless you. May I have a seat. Amen. Praise his wonderful name. So we're certainly glad to be back in this house again. And, you know, we've been speaking on Sunday. We're taking up a little subject on the missing link or the hidden link, and I just was never able to really get through with it. But nevertheless, we did cover quite a bit, and I trust it caused some of you to really search the scriptures. It's a real precious thing when we have a desire to search the scriptures. It's a love letter, it's a letter for the bride. And you know, this book was sealed all through seven church ages, and it was promised to be opened in the evening time. And I believe that's why, you know, so many people, they misunderstand the Bible, and then it's difficult for them to receive true Bible teaching, especially when the word is being presented in the light of the scriptures, because they fail to realize that the book was sealed all the way through. For 6,000 years, the book was sealed. You see, people don't know that. That's why people, you know, they think that they read the Bible and they think they could understand it without God provided a way of making it known to them. But you see, it couldn't be done, because God has a specific way of bringing his word to the people. And there's no way that a man could bypass God provided a way for something and receive it.
The only way to really receive what God promised is to come to it God's provided way. Amen. Do you understand that?
Amen.
Amen. And that has always been man's mistake down through the years. Because they tried to come into the things of God and not approach it the way God ordained for them to approach it. Amen. How many know back in the Old Testament, men tried to approach the presence of God and died? Amen. Because it didn't come God provided way. Amen. Amen. They tried to approach the tree of life and God blocked it off from them and forbid them to take from it and drove them out to the garden. How many know that? Amen. They could only come to it in God's time and God's season and by God's provided way. Amen. See, you see, there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end is death. And if we could come, God provide a way, we could never die. When you see something is dying, it's because it is not in God's provided way. Amen. You see, God's way, God's revealed way cannot bring death. Amen. You understand that? God was talking to Adam and Eve back and forth, communing with them in the Garden of Eden, and they never died. Amen. They couldn't die. Amen. As long as God came and God was speaking to them and they was hearing what God was saying and they was in God's presence, they could not die. Amen. But we find out that when they begin to receive something that was a perversion of what God said, death came.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
Amen. That's how death came. Because the word cannot bring death.
Amen.
You understand that?
Amen.
The word brings life. Amen. Jesus said, the word I speak unto you is spirit and they are life.
Amen.
If you sit under his voice, you have to live. Even
Amen.
If you come dead, you will come to life. Once there's representation there and you get under his voice, he'll bring you up from the dead.
Amen.
Amen. But you might have life and sit under something that is perverting his word and you're going to start to die. The Bible says faith come by hearing and hearing by the word. Is that right?
Amen.
Well, when you're hearing that word, you're going to receive faith.
Amen.
And faith is the revelation of himself. Amen.
Amen.
Faith is the revelation of the will of God. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith.
Amen.
The just shall live by faith.
Yes.
Is that right?
Amen.
You can't die when you live by faith. And you can't help but receive faith when you hear the word.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So then we find out then what it is you're hearing.
Yeah.
Amen. When a man cannot receive the word of God and can receive something else that is not the word, he's going to die.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. And, you know, as we've been trying to teach some of these things, you know, it is very timely that these things be taught. And, you know, these messages really is just trying to point out the evils of this evil age. And the message, God of this evil age, page 7, the messenger says, now this message points out the evils of this evil age, and it is fitting to prophecy for this evil age that it is my belief that the Bible has every answer for every age already written in the Bible for the believer of that age.
Amen.
How many know that to be the truth?
Amen.
That's why when Jesus came and they were looking for him, all the world was looking for him since the Garden of Eden. When it was spoken, the woman shall receive a seed. And they looked for that one to come, and Moses said, the Lord thy God was a prophet like unto me. And Abraham was told he's going to have a seed in whom all the nations of Israel is going to be blessed. So this great one has been spoken. Isaiah said, he shall be like a lamb dumb before his shears, and he opened his mouth. And so they kept on prophesying. Each prophet was unfolding more of what this great one that was promised was going to be. And David was told he's going to have a son, and his kingdom there shall be no end, and he will build a house of God, and his throne will be established forever. Amen. And so it went on. But then one day it had a man with the spirit of Elijah. Is that right?
Amen.
And he was the last, you know, the winding up there of all them prophets who was prophesying about this great one. Because he was not going to prophesy and say, no, he's going to come like the rest. He stood up and said, there's one standing among you whom you know not. Amen. Now, sometimes it's a little difficult when a messenger comes in a little different trend to the rest of the messengers that were before him. Because everyone was saying, he's coming, he's coming, he's coming. But then this prophet was saying, he's here.
Amen.
Amen. See, he was catching something that the hour had come. And from the moment he rose up and said, he's here, you won't find no more people coming that is inspired of God come and say, he's coming. Amen. Amen. Because it was the Holy Spirit, God in sundry time and divers manners, Hebrews 1:1 spoke in the prophets.
Amen.
Well, God cannot speak one prophet and contradict another prophet. Amen. That's why when Jesus came, the Bible says, and beginning at Moses, he took the law and the Psalms and the prophets and all things concerning himself.
Amen.
He said, search the scriptures and everything you have eternal life, and they are they that testify of me. He knew he was the principal theme of the entire Bible. He knew it spoke of him from Genesis. Is that right? And he knew that the people in that age looked for him for 4,000 years. But when he came, he found that the people in that age didn't recognize the prophet. They didn't recognize the messenger. Is that right? That's why he asked them, what went you out to see? A reed shaken by a wind? See? Yeah, they couldn't accept that John the Baptist was the messenger. Yet the man was identifying he was that person.
Amen.
Does anybody know why they couldn't accept him as the messenger? It's because he didn't belong to none of the organizations.
Amen. That's right.
He came outside of the organizations. Does anybody know why he came outside the organizations? Because God never established none.
Amen.
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 Is God the same yesterday, today, and forever?
Amen.
Would it be strange if God come outside of a denomination today? Should that be strange?
No.
It shouldn't be for a Bible believer, that is. No, a denominational believer who believes that my church is right. My pastor says so. And you know, we had a great founder and our church is about 200 years old. For such a person, they might get trouble with that. But for one that believes the Bible, I know that God is going to judge the world by his word and not a particular denomination.
Amen.
One who knows that God says, let his word be true and every word, man's word be a lie, then they can take what the Bible says.
Amen.
Could you take what the Bible says?
Amen.
Is that the only authority?
Amen.
Amen. I trust that it is. You see, and that's why it's so important. You see, I'm speaking that way because we have strangers here and I want them to see God's pattern and how God worked in a particular age to understand when he's bringing his word to pass. That's what happens to people. That's how they miss it, when the word is coming to pass. See, Jesus came and he saw those people not understanding who John was. Because in Matthew 17, he says, John came and they rejected him. They didn't believe him. And so shall the Son of Man likewise suffer many things to them too.
Amen.
Because if you couldn't see the forerunner, how could you see the one he's speaking about?
Amen.
If you miss a sign, how could you see the city that the sign was pointing to?
Amen.
Because John was just a signpost to point to that one.
Amen.
And how many know who Jesus was? Was he the Word? Did the Bible say he was the Word?
Yes.
And the Word came to the prophet. Is that right?
Yes.
Amen. It took John the prophet to reveal the Word to the people. And did you realize the prophet himself couldn't reveal the Word by himself? Just because a prophet could reveal the Word? Do you realize was the Holy Spirit that had to point out the Word to the prophet?
Yes.
How many know that's the truth? John said, I saw and bore record that the Holy Ghost was kept coming down upon this one, and so I know that he was the Messiah.
Amen.
Because the Holy Ghost is the divine revealer of the Word.
Amen.
Is that right?
Yeah.
And if you as a believer have to get a revelation of the word, would the whole same Holy Spirit have to give you the same revelation?
Yeah.
Could flesh and blood reveal it to you?
Oh.
Look at Simon Peter. Jesus said, whom do men say the Son of Man am? Is that right?
Yeah.
And then what happened? You know, many people said, thou art Moses and Jeremiah, one of the prophets, and Elijah and John the Baptist raised from the dead and different things. And he said, whom do you say? He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And what did Jesus answer? Flesh and blood hath not revealed unto you, but my Father. Is that right? Flesh and blood couldn't do it. It was the Holy Spirit. The same one that revealed it to John had to reveal it to Peter. Is that right? Did we find a religious man like Paul, faithful in all of, you know, went to church since he was small, learning all the scriptures? Did we find him in the Bible persecuting the church?
Amen.
Did we find him calling the word of God heresy?
Amen.
Because the Holy Spirit had not yet revealed it to him.
Amen.
And without the Holy Spirit, he couldn't know it.
Amen.
But in Acts 9, did we see the pillar of fire come down? He saw a light brighter than the noonday sun.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
Glory. Then after he had an experience in Galatians 1, he said he went to the desert of Arabia.
Yes.
Searching for 3 years.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
And he said he wasn't talking by man, but he was talking by the revelation of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
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 So if it comes that way, it couldn't be a Bible school. Because he was in a Bible school since he was small. He was taught in the scripture by the greatest Bible teacher. And he still didn't know it. But when he had an experience, when he met the pillar of fire, when he had a revelation, hallelujah, he was able to know it. Glory be to God. Does God change? Does a person get to know the word another way? How many desire revelation tonight then?
Yeah.
Desire the Holy Spirit to bring revelation to your heart. Did he promise to send the Holy Spirit?
Yeah.
Another comforter?
Yeah.
Even the Spirit of truth?
Yeah.
Will come to you?
Yeah.
Will lead you and guide you into all truth?
Yeah.
Amen. And what did he say was the truth? Thy word is truth.
Yeah.
St. John 17:17. Father, sanctify them by thy word. Thy word is truth. And the word is who? He himself. He said, I am the way, I am the? He is the what? The truth.
Amen.
Is he the word also?
Amen.
In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God.
Amen.
And the word was made flesh. Is that right?
Amen.
Glory.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. So the word, it took the Holy Spirit to reveal the word to the prophet, took the Holy Spirit to reveal the word to Peter, took the Holy Spirit to reveal the word to Paul, it's going to take the same Holy Ghost to reveal it to you, and he promised to send the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost is here tonight. Hallelujah! But how shall they hear without a preacher? The Holy Ghost can take the preacher and preach the word, and the Holy Ghost that preached the word to the preacher could reveal it to you the same way. Amen! And you can say, amen, that's the word! Hallelujah! Because life will connect with life always. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I love the word. Don't you love the word? Isn't it simple? It's so simple. Amen. Isn't it complicated? Amen. Isn't nothing to fear? Doesn't it sound like something to fear? Doesn't it sound like a strange thing when they deceive you and put you somewhere? Does it bring illumination to your mind?
Yeah.
Give you faith in your heart?
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Glory. Then we know it's the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And he cares for you. Amen.
Yeah.
Glory. So it's wonderful when we can see God in his goodness moving, bringing his word to our hearts. And especially in this evil age. And he says this message here was to point out the evils of this evil age. Amen. Because in every age, God already has the word for that age written for the believer in that age. You might be living in this age tonight and you don't know what's the word for your age. You might know you want to serve God. You might know you want to be in the right church. You really want, you want to be hearing the right thing.
Amen.
You want to have confidence that you'll be under the leadership of God.
Yes.
Amen. And that you actually being prepared for His coming.
Yes.
If those questions could be answered in your heart, not in the doubt, you would be an anchored person. Is that right?
Amen.
You'd be established. You'd be settled. You don't mind the trials after that. Amen. Because why? You already know He's leading you. Whether some to the water, some to the flood, some to the fire. But you know, you're coming through the blood. Amen.
Amen.
And in the blood of Christ, my Lord, there is a victory. Amen.
Amen.
There is a victory.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. So it does something for the believer who knows that they are walking in that word.
Amen.
Now look at it back there. All them prophets was catching part of the word. Is that right?
Amen.
Moses caught part of the word. Jeremiah caught part of the word. Isaiah caught part of the word. Amos caught part of the word. And in their age, they spoke the word. They were bringing forth the revelation. And they kept the people lined up with God when they were going away from the word, because there was a great promise coming. Is that right? And what was that great promise? It was the promiser himself.
Amen.
In the Garden of Eden, the first promise, the woman shall receive a seed.
Amen.
From the moment the fall took place in the Garden of Eden, and God slew that lamb, blocked the way to the tree of life, and showed them they'll have to come back to the tree of life by atonement.
Amen.
By sacrifice.
Amen.
Is that right?
Amen.
They have a robe of righteousness that is going to come through that bleeding lamb. Did you notice in Genesis 3 in the Bible, in that scene right there in the Garden of Eden, when the fall took place, and God said, the woman seed shall bruise the serpent's head, and gave a promise of redemption.
Amen.
And then that was speaking of Christ. Then God slew a lamb and covered him with coats of skin, because it was covered up with fig leaves. And that is what they made for themselves.
Amen.
And salvation is entirely of the Lord.
Amen.
It's not by our works.
No,
they were trying to save themselves by their own works. They were trying to cover themselves with their own creeds and dogmas.
Amen.
They might say, she said, Adam, I think we should do apricot leaves. He said, no, I think fig leaves look better. See? And in any case, we don't have to go too far for it. Look at a fig tree right here. See? And they made fig leaves. How many kind of other leaves they could have used? But they used something, in other words, from their own thinking.
Yeah.
They used something that they reasoned out could cover them in a way that they can present themselves before God. Or so they thought.
Yeah.
You see, not just, you can't stand in God's presence until you know, God has provided a way for you to stand in His presence. They found that out from the time the presence of God came.
Amen.
They took off and ran because there was something there that intimidated them.
Amen.
That scared the life out of them.
Amen.
Is that right?
Amen.
And then God had to take that man-made covering, and religion means covering, that's all it means.
Amen.
And when man makes something to cover his own sin and to cover his own nakedness, it's not going to work in the sight of God.
Right.
Is that right?
Amen.
It's not by works that any man should boast, but by grace are you saved. If you're going to have a covering, God will have to provide one.
Amen.
Because who provided the first one? God.
Amen.
Who covered the nakedness first? Was it God?
Amen.
Exactly. Then God didn't take back His covering from them because He felt they had it on too long. No. They did something that caused the covering to leave them.
Amen.
Is that right?
Amen.
And since they couldn't bring back what was supernatural and spirit given, then they had to make a man-made one.
Amen.
Amen? But when the Holy Spirit left a particular age, they couldn't bring the Holy Ghost back in the church. If the Holy Ghost leaves the church, you think we can bring it back, run on the road and find him and pull him back inside the church here? You can't do it. And that is how they denominate after the messenger left in each age. Because when the Spirit left them, they organized. And they made the Lutherans made a Lutheran denomination, the Methodists made a Methodist denomination, Presbyterian, Baptist, Pentecostal, they all made Seventh-day Adventists, they all made their own denomination, and they called it what they want to call it. But though we have good intentions, we can't change the will and plan of God. Could we? We can't. Because there's no way to improve upon God's original word. You get that?
Amen.
Because it cannot be added to. And it cannot be taken away from.
Amen.
And the original way was for God to cover them. And then the next thing happened. God had to take the fig leaf off of them and put on coats of skin. Is that right? A robe of righteousness. But how was it provided? Through the slain lamb. Through the shedding of blood. And that robe of righteousness represents the Holy Spirit. The only thing that a man's soul can be robed with to stand in the presence of God. And that was Christ again. And then the tree of life was Christ again. So do you understand that? The tree of life was Christ, the woman seed was Christ, the slain lamb was Christ, and the robe of righteousness was Christ.
Amen.
All being revealed to them in the Garden of Eden there, it had to come God's way before they could come back to that tree. That tree was going to come as the lamb. That lamb was going to die. That in his death is going to send the Holy Spirit. Through the Holy Spirit coming, they're going to be able to come back and feed upon the true word again. You get that?
Amen.
It's right here in the Bible. Amen. But God now was going to bring it in his own season and time. So for 4,000 years, prophets came rising up, preaching that this one is going to come, the woman seed, the tree of life, the Lamb of God. Amen. He was all. He called himself the bread of life. John called him the Lamb of God. Is that right? Amen. He took the law and the Psalms and all that and proved he was the woman seed from the Garden of Eden that was promised back there.
Yes.
Exactly. He was that one. He knew it. He had to make it known to them because it was written in the Word. That's what I'm trying to show you. In every age for the believer, the Word for them is written in the Word.
Yes.
But before that truth comes along, man teachings come and veil the people, organize them, corrupt the minds, that when the real word comes, they look at it with suspicion. They look at it and they don't recognize it. Is that right? And when that word came to that prophet at the end of the Old Testament, to the people, amen? He wasn't just saying that, you know, light is going to come or bring another prophecy about him like Moses and Jeremiah and Isaiah and them did. No. He was going to say, this is he. This is the one we have looked for. Let us stop looking. He's here. He has arrived. The hour has come. It's now been identified. It's been proven. It's been vindicated that this is the promise being manifested.
Amen.
That's why Jesus said, I that speak to you am he. Search the scriptures. In them, they think of eternal life. Now, if John had claimed that Jesus was the Messiah, that Jesus was the Lamb of God, and then Jesus didn't have the signs, he didn't have the life, he didn't have the teaching to back it up, then John would be a false prophet.
Amen. That's right.
Do you see how challenging that is when we say we are the bride?
Amen.
When you say we are the people the prophet is talking about? Then if you don't manifest that, you make that prophet a false teacher.
Amen. That's right.
Or either you make a false claim.
Amen.
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 I tell you. Jesus had to go forth. He said, John was a bright and shining light, and he rejoiced to walk in his light for a season. But I have greater witness than John. Did he say it?
Amen.
St. John chapter 5. He had to show them John had come, they had light, they walk in the light, but light don't just stop, light keeps on falling.
Amen, that's right.
He said, I am the true light of the world. If any man followeth me, will not walk in darkness, but he will have the light of life. Glory! He understood that his life was going to make all them things that look dark and strange. It was going to uncover it and actually bring them to the place where they will come right back into union with God again. That was the age for it. And could you imagine such a great thing? A great prophet like that, like John? Because Jesus said, there isn't a man born of a woman greater than John. Did he say it? He said, there isn't a man. He said, he is more than a prophet. Did he say it? Was John greater than Moses? Sure he was. You afraid to say what Jesus said? You don't even understand it. Just say what Jesus said. Jesus said it. Jesus is excluding Moses. If Moses was born of a woman, then John was greater than him. So then the way we measure greatness in God's sight might not be the way that we measure it. You might compare and tell Moses opened the Red Sea. Moses, you had Moses, you had. No. He ain't saying it so. He's saying the age I put him in. Amen. The privilege that he have. Why? Because all of them desire to see that day. Glory. All of them look for that day. All of them spoke of that one coming. And John had the ministry to introduce him. Amen. Hallelujah. To say, this is he. He has arrived. He's here on the scene. Oh, my. But you know, to really believe John, do you believe he was living in that day to follow John?
Amen. That's right.
Let me tell people here, believe he was living in that day to follow John the Baptist.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Now, what's something? When John come in that day, and he stood up there to preach, he wasn't a nice, he wasn't, you know, along the regular line of preachers. First to begin, the man language was strange. The man wasn't preaching in terminology, you know, like come with a nice clergy collar, a long robe, and, you know, kind of greet the people nice and, you know, pick up the offerings and, you know, John wasn't like all that, you know. When they come and the Bible said the man was eating wild locusts and honey. The man was clothed in a camel skin with a leather girdle around his waist. Is that right?
Amen.
The man was out there preaching in the wilderness, not in the city holding conventions and so on. The man was out in the wilderness. And when they go to hear the man was preaching about wood and stone and axe and tree and snake and grass.
Amen. That's right.
It was a strange kind of preaching. They said, we have customed it so. You know, in our church, we have this, and the choir sings, and so happen afterwards. We have this afterwards. And then after the minister is going to come out, and he's going to tell some nice little stories and different things. He said, but this man coming here, he said, the axe is laid at the root of the tree. Every tree I don't bring forth will be hewn and cast in the fire.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. Then this man turned around to the priest and said, you generation of vipers, you snake in the grass, who are wanting to flee from the wrath to come.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
This man preaching was a little different. He wasn't trying to win a popularity contest and build membership. Amen. But he looked at the governor in the land, the air, see the man living with his brother's wife. He said, it's not lawful for you to have all. Repent or perish.
Amen.
But he looked at them soldiers coming to meet in the air, looked them in the eye and says, tell them about the Polish brutality. Is that right?
Yeah.
I should be content with your wages.
Yeah.
All who want to get influence and join the union and protest and work with placard. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Well, it was tough. See? It's kind of tough. But the thing with God is in the mind. And when the thing was, the churches of that day didn't believe that John was a prophet. Is that right?
They didn't believe it.
You believe you're the prophet, don't you?
Then the people who was coming out to believe that John was a prophet, they have had to face a lot of things.
Amen. That's right.
You want to see some of the things they had to face?
One of the first things they could argue about. Now remember, for 400 years, from Malachi at the end of the Old Testament until John came, was 400 silent years. Is that right?
The man's birth was strange, but not everybody knew about it. Didn't they have an angel around the time the man was born, being born? Didn't mother and father saw this angel? Is that right? Didn't that young boy, he went up in the wilderness? It's strange, eh? Did you know back in that time, when he appeared there, even the father, a godly man, a priest, Zechariah, he didn't believe what the angel was saying. The one big angel, Gabriel, who stood there when he went to burn the incense and tell me, going to have a son, thy prayers have been heard, and he will not drink wine or strong drink and these things. He didn't publish it in newspapers because the father himself didn't believe it, and he was struck dumb for disbelieving it. If the father could hardly believe it, what about the rest of the people? Amen. Then the history tells you when the boy was 9 years old and the father and mother died, and he grew up in the wilderness. Never went to no theology school. That's why he was getting revelation as the Spirit of God would teach him. See them snake in the grass, the lowest thing you could see. Take cotton on dry stick to make fire to keep himself warm. See? You don't want to cut down a good fruit tree to make firewood. See them dry trees that don't bring forth no fruit.
Amen.
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 You don't baby them and pat them in the back because it's a good tight pair or something. But he swing the axe and let the chip fly. Amen.
Amen.
The axe is laid at the root. Amen. Glory. So when you look and see, and he came out preaching, now it was kind of strange. Because he came baptizing people and they couldn't understand his revelation and baptism. You know that?
Amen.
How many know Jesus asked them, was John baptism of man or of God?
Amen.
None of them could understand John baptism. Amen.
Amen.
John tells them, he said, you Caiaphas, you need to come in this water and get baptized. I wonder if there are some people here need to come and get baptized tonight. No, we say we believe John back then, you know. But you see, you didn't live in that age. We're living in this age. And the same way God dealt back in that age, he has dealt again in this age. That was in the first coming, is in the second coming. He does not change his pattern, is that right? So you see, we need to know. We need to understand. Because sometimes when you accept the word, it's not going to be easy for you. But we found out that many people, they believed that John was a prophet. I can imagine that they were challenged by some of them Sadducees, even like they challenged the disciples. The disciples themselves believed John was a prophet, but couldn't prove it in the scripture. And that's where people's faith gets shaken many times. Because the scribe and Pharisee telling me Elias must come first. And quote the scripture, they couldn't prove that John was Elias from the Bible. And they come to Jesus and say, Master, how come the scribe say Elias must first come before you if you is the Messiah? He say, Elias have already come. And they done to him whatsoever they listed. Amen. Now you don't want to be that kind of believer, believing in something and then can't see it in the word. You want to believe it and prove it by the word.
Amen.
Because you're going to be opposed on it. You're going to be challenged upon it.
That's right.
I'm going to know it the way you ought to know it. They can shake your faith if you don't have it by a divine revelation.
Amen.
And that's why you need to be interested and to know what you believe from the Bible.
Amen.
Because once you sit in the Bible, you know heaven and earth will pass away, but the word cannot pass away.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And that's the way they knew it.
And they knew it that way. Seeing that's why for us as believers, we who have seen the fulfillment of these things again. See, the word is written for us in this age. The word has spoken by God's and the prophet in this age. But it's strange again. And here, the same way we rise up to say, God has sent a prophet. It's the same way Peter and James and John and them have to say, John the Baptist, that man there, who when he was born, the angel appeared to his father and mother and them. And that man who grew up there, though he's not belong to the Sadducees or Pharisees or the Baptists or the Methodists or the Pentecostals, that man's a prophet fulfilling the scriptures. And because he's a prophet, he could not come in an organization. He had to come outside of an organization. He had to rebuke the organizations. Amen. Because they had God people divided. Amen. And so we see, and because he's a prophet, the word going to come to him. The Holy Spirit is obligated to reveal the word for him, because if the Holy Spirit promised a prophet is needed.
Amen. That's right.
God, you see, the whole thing today is not just trying to say God sent a prophet. God sent a prophet because a prophet was needed. If we understand these messages that have been coming forth in the last 2 months here, to see when they see the error, the very parable that I'm speaking here, what Jesus told, that seed was sown among the wheat. It's going to take a prophet in the end time to come and separate them things. Amen. Why? Because you will have wheat and tares mixed together. Nobody will be able to tell them apart, because the tares will be living by the same water that and the same rain that the wheat live by.
Amen.
How many read the Bible?
Amen.
Matthew 5:45. Jesus says, the Father sendeth his rain upon the just and the unjust. Joel 2, I'll pour my spirit upon all flesh.
Amen.
That's why it's so treacherous in this age. And the evils of this evil age is not just drinking and smoking and committing adultery. The evil of this evil age is what brought the fall back in the Garden of Eden. What brought the deception and then the degradation of the human race. But there was deceived first with a perversion of the original word. Is that right? He caused them to depart from the original word. Seducing spirit. You want to read that? Turn with me to 2 Timothy 3. Look at verse 1. Paul is prophesying here. This know also that in the last days, in the first days, in the second days, is that what he's saying? In the last days. Perilous times shall come. And he goes on. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient, unto parents, unthankful, unholy. He keeps going right on. Then verse 13, he's speaking here. But evil men and what? Seducers. Men refined in the art of seduction. Amen. Seducers. Shall become worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Amen. Look at 1 Timothy 4. Verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times, when? In the latter times. Notice all these things for the last days. In the latter times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to what? Seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Amen? Let's enter Mark 13. Let's see. That is two places. Vows will be established by the truth in order to two witnesses. Verse 19, Mark chapter 13, verse 19. For in those days shall be affliction such as was not from the beginning of the creation, which God created unto this time, neither shall be. And except the Lord had shortened those days, no flesh should be saved. But for the elect's sake, whom he had chosen, he had shortened the days. You have shortened days for whose sake? The elect's sake, the elected ones, the chosen ones, the marked out ones. And then if any man shall say to you, lo, here is Christ, or lo, he is there, believe him not. For false Christ and false prophets shall arise, and shall show signs and wonders to do what? To seduce, if it were possible, even the elected. But take heed, behold, I have foretold you all things. So here we see Jesus and Paul, both speaking of the end time, in the latter days, when there is going to be seducing spirits, it's going to have great signs and wonders, it's going to make many depart from the faith, they're going to get worse and worse. Is that right? Deceiving and being deceived? Amen. And they are going to make many depart from the faith. Many going to fall away. There's going to come a great falling away. Just take another scripture here. With that, let me get 2 Thessalonians. And then we move on from there a little bit. Now watch this. This is treacherous. You see, many people in this age, what has actually happened to them, they are sitting there already seduced, already sown with false doctrine, already bringing forth a perverted life, a religious life, a denominational life, looking for the coming of the Lord because they've been blinded and failed to see that they cannot meet the Lord in that condition. See? They are going to find themselves disappointed. He will say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never even knew you. Amen. See, they've been seduced. They think he knew them, but he didn't know them. He will not have no affair with anybody than his wife. Amen. He ain't that kind of man at all. Second Thessalonians 2, now beseech you, brethren, by the coming of the Lord Jesus and by our gathering together unto him. So we see he's speaking prophetically of this hour. By the coming of our Lord Jesus and by our gathering together unto him. That's why we are gathering here tonight. Because we know he's coming. He's coming soon. That you be not shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, as that the day of the Lord is present, or the day of our God is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come the falling away first. Now your Bible now a falling away, but the correct translation is the falling away, because he's speaking about a specific time, he's speaking about a specific falling away that's going to come. We're going to get to that. And that man of sin be revealed the son of perdition. He's talking about a special man. That man of sin shall be revealed. And he calls him what? The son of perdition. Perdition is hell. See? Judas was called the son of perdition. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. My, just think about that. And then Paul is warning this little church here.
He said, remember you not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? He was teaching them some prophecy. He was putting them on the expectation to see what the prophetic word was saying. Amen. That's what I'm trying to do, pointing out these evils in this last day to show how it's going to be. And now you know what constraineth, that he might be revealed in his time. When will he be revealed? In his time. See, but that time won't come except they come falling, they're falling away first. For the mystery of iniquity, watch this, the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Already, it was already working. That mystery of iniquity. You know, we're gonna try to drive that down and bring it out to can see it. That mystery of iniquity was already at work. What was at work? What was that mystery of iniquity that was already at work? Yeah, with false teaching. It's another seed, another gospel. That antichrist spirit, you see, that gone to the world, bringing forth a perversion of the original truth. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now let it will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked one be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. He's going to be revealed in his time, but he'll be destroyed. And the Lord will destroy him. Amen. He's the mystery. The mystery of iniquity had already worked. Was going to head up into this man, the son of perdition. But the mystery of godliness was already at work too.
Amen.
Amen. Glory. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Could you imagine that? They would not receive the love of the truth. Amen. Because sometimes the truth exposes, sometimes the truth offends, sometimes the truth shakes, sometimes the truth corrects. Amen.
Amen.
Sometimes the truth exposes and shows that brother, we might be in some denominational tradition. And for this cause, God shall send upon them strong delusion that they should believe the lie. It says a lie in the King James Version there, but it means the lie because it was the first lie he told Eve.
That's
He's the father of lies. That they all might be damned who believe not the truth. My. Well, God can't help it because they wouldn't believe the truth. You shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free.
Amen.
To reject the truth is to reject him because he is the truth.
Amen. That's right.
And in the last days, he is rejected. The truth is put out to the church. Is that right?
Amen.
And in the last days, the church is blind. Because you put a delusion in them to believe the lie. That's why they believe Eve eat the apple. That's why they believe all these different things. They believe it have three gods. They believe you could sprinkle, you could pour, and people could get baptized that way. It don't make no difference. They believe you could bob your hair, paint your face, and dress anyhow, and wear pants, and with abomination inside the God, and still go to heaven. Why? And they will fight tooth and nail. And when you show them the Bible, they will say, well, that don't mean that. And when you say, tell me what it means then. And they can't come up with what it means. You can't fight a blind person. They're under delusion.
Amen.
You know why? Because they can't receive the love of the truth.
Amen.
And hear why. That they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Those lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Now get this now. When it says lovers of pleasure,
more than lovers of God, it don't just mean running around the world drinking beer and being at disco all night and coming home, you know, Sunday morning with a hangover from drinking too much beer. It don't mean that. Lovers of pleasure, they have pleasure in unrighteousness. That unrighteousness is they love the religious works more than the truth. Like Cain. Cain had loved his religious works more than the vindicated truth. That's why 1 John 3:12 said Cain killed his brother because what? His works was evil. Killing his brother wasn't evil works. He killed his brother because his works was evil. And his evil works was he didn't rightly divide the truth. He put the first fruits before the blood. How many of the first fruits was an offering that God gave to be offered in the Old Testament? How many know Christ was the first fruits? But how many know the blood came first? How many know the slain lamb came first? The first was the resurrection. The Passover was Calvary. Was his death. Is that right? But how could he have a resurrection unless he died first? It was misinterpreting the word. And you see many churches today, they learn the art of seduction real good. You know, Brother Abraham says, he says, you see a young girl, her grandmother was a flapper, her mommy was a chorus girl. He said, where do you think she's going to be? Amen?
Amen?
You ever read the Old Testament real good and understand it? In the book of Chronicles and Kings, and it says, and Ahab walking with the most evil of the kings of Israel, and Jeroboam, his son, walking his way, and then his son walking in that one way. Is that right? And they didn't move the higher place and didn't cut down the idols and these things. What it was? Because they're growing up under that influence. And you see a man of God who play on the word of God, and then some boy come up under him and start to preach the gospel to him. He play on just like that one. And another one come on, y'all play on just like that one. And so they keep on going and compromise here and compromise here and compromise here until by the time you get it there, what are you going to produce? And if that church was a flapper, committing adultery to the word, and the next was a chorus girl, just going to dance and shout and roll on the floor. Is that right?
Yeah.
But can you believe this doctrine, jump into that doctrine, jump into the next doctrine, taking in all kinds of different man seed? And they produce a next little offspring of another little church. What do you think he's going to produce? You understand me?
Yeah.
And many of them today are passing out a little cup of wine, drunken many with it. Didn't Revelation 17 say that woman had a cup in her hand, drunken in the nations? She was a church, and that was the wine of a fornication, a false teaching. You think it's only shave a cup? Every church have a cup. Whether a true church or a false church, they have a cup. You know, David said, my cup runneth over.
Amen.
Is that right?
Amen.
You better have the real wine to bring real stimulation and revelation in your cup.
Amen.
And anybody drink from that cup and get intoxicated, amen. But they get under the right revelation, you watch something genuine come forth. But if it's false teaching that cup, what is the corruption, the pollution going to follow it? You hear me? Because what it was leading the nations into idolatry. What is idolatry? Fornication. You know what this? Idol worship. False union. Amen? Because it begin to corrupt them, making them drunk, and then it begin to lift up men's persons. Whole men, persons in admiration, and men's persons being established in their hearts of the people. And then man's word was being exalted more than God's word. They don't care what the Bible says. You say, but that man is teaching false. This man is a nice man. He will feed the poor.
He got charity for the blind, social welfare, all these things. Because why? They never look back in the Garden of Eden and see the serpent says, yea, had God said. And perverted the word, and that caused every disease, every death, everything in the earth. Was false teacher, wasn't feeding the poor. When Jesus came, he said, you have the poor with you always.
Amen.
Is that right?
Yes.
I'm not against feeding the poor. But I'm trying to say the false thing, the deceit, is the false teaching. You see, people don't realize when man tamper with that word and man's personality has been established in the hearts of the people, then what follows that is the people exalt man's word above God's word. Then when they do that, they are actually eating things sacrificed unto idols. This message, you see, today you see so much people, they have the little ideas, the little denominational ideas, the little philosophies, the little well-worked explanations, the educated guesses, and they bring it and they wrap it up in message terminology. A lot of philosophy and denominationalism and false teaching wrap up in message terminology. What do you think the false, I'll show you just now. When Jezebel seduced them to eat things sacrificed unto idols, what do you think it was? It was false teaching wrap up in Christian terminology.
Amen. That's right.
You better make sure that what you believe in is the word of God.
Amen.
It's written in that word. Amen. Because once you get in the false union, and you watch that church begin to sink, see? You see them churches with a poison cup, infected with AIDS. Sure. You know, it had some three young girls was having some perverted affair recently here with some woman with AIDS. And when they found she had AIDS, the three young girls were going to kill the woman. Well, AIDS is just the curse that God put upon the perverted acts. How many know in Genesis 19 that when them angels went to Sodom, the men in Sodom tried to pervert them to their own acts? How many know that?
Amen. That's right.
Man over man. That's what denominationalism is. Denominationalism today is man leading man. How many know that the mistake Israel made? How many know God is over Israel as a king?
Amen.
First Samuel 8, read it in the Bible.
Amen. Right.
And when they rejected Samuel to have a king like the rest of the world, to come from a theocracy to a monarchy, to come from a leadership of man to a leadership of God, that was the working of the Antichrist spirit tied back in the New Testament right there.
Amen.
Human government.
Yes, that's right. Amen.
Because God is the leader always.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And how many know from the time man became the ruler, the signs and the wonders begin to leave. And before you know it, they had all kind of perverted kings. You had a Rehoboam, you had a Jeroboam, idolatry started, you had an Ahab, then you had a Jezebel, and the whole place was in darkness.
Amen.
Why? Because they choose to get away from God and to go under the leadership of man.
Amen. That's right.
And any church that gets away from the Holy Spirit, because they find that the Holy Spirit hold them too close to the word. They find the Holy Spirit is too straight. That's why Simon says, have I ever begged you for any money? He said, did I ever bring any false teaching to you? See, did I ever say you had to go back and say that false or follow some man and pick up some man's idea? No, he couldn't say it. They said, but we want that still. And then God says, Simon, it's not you to reject, it's me to reject. They want a bishop. Don't a man start to bring his own thoughts. See, they want some man who can maybe sweeten them up nice and make it look like the world and these things, so they can start to compare themselves with the world. But that was a mistake right there. See, because when that corrupt clergy, just like in the Garden of Eden, just like here,
they begin to bring that false teaching. What begins to happen? Seducers. Did the Bible say seducers? Evil men? Seducers? Is that what it says? Seducing them churches. Some of them churches want a sensation. We doesn't dance enough. Oh, I find we should shout a little more. That's the atmosphere. See? But you see, when that perverted clergy, those seducers, whose bloodline is polluted, and begin to bring the perverted religious acts to the people, you know what happened to that church? The first things happen in that church is the immunity begins to go. They have no resistance, and they open up to every abomination, pollution, disease, everything. They no longer have a repellent to shake that thing off. What is coming through? A perverted bloodline. A polluted bloodline. Having spiritual intercourse with the church. How did sin come? Satan had spiritual intercourse with Eve, and sin and death come into the human race. Is that right? Amen. He said, "Yea, had God said, you shall not surely die." And he, the serpent, being an animal, perverted Eve to his own act and tried to make her want to reproduce according to the law of the animals when they had a higher way of reproducing because there was a higher species. But you are showing her, no, it's pleasant, it's good, it's more exciting. See? But she didn't know it's going to bring death. And what spirit they had was going to leave them. And when you see churches today, under human government, let me tell you, you're bound to see death. Because that kills the spirituality. Because the same way the serpent beguiled Eve and perverted to that act, the Nicolaitans begin to pervert the people to another religious order. They were trying to go back to the Aaronic system, and they're trying to set up the people under an Old Testament order where the congregation had no part in the worship, and the priests, the men made themselves priests and made themselves take over the mediatorship. And then they stood there between the people and God when God had already rent that veil in twain back there on Calvary, and the Holy Spirit had come and the people had access to go into the presence of God and to come bold before the throne of grace. Let me tell you, see, the church is not just people saying, "Don't be, I want to go to heaven," you know. The church is people sitting down there establishing the word. Know what the relationship between God and his church ought to be. Have the discernment, have the virtue and the character that she don't want to play around and look for excitement and extra marital affairs and these things. The church knows she is a virtuous woman. Who could find a virtuous woman? Is that right? Amen. Now watch quickly. 1 John 2:26. After John had exhorted him in chapter 1 and 2, then he finished up chapter 2 here. He says, verse 26. 1 John 2:26. "These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you, but the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you, and you need not that any man teach you." But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and things is mysteries, eh? And is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, you shall abide in him. John was seeing men seducing the church. And that spirit that started there in that first age, he said the last days is going to keep getting worse and worse and worse. Because, you see, back in the Garden of Eden, when Eve was seduced, and in her field, in the womb, she received two seeds. And when Jesus came, he began to pick it up between the first Eve that was fallen back there and the other Eve that was to come, and begin to show that that evil sower is going to come and is going to try this church too. But she was going to receive another seed also. And Paul in his time began to see that other seed coming forth, and it was coming out of men's mouths whose minds wasn't renewed. Who never really held a true revelation of Jesus Christ. They never understood what it is that Elijah revealed. Who it is today in human flesh that said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. They never understood that mystery fully. So they came in and they began to preach a gospel, another gospel, and they begin to beguile or seduce the church. And the church begin to fall for that seduction. They were enticed and seduced and became pregnated with another seed. And became a fallen woman whose virtues was mad. See? Her defenses, Satan went right past the defenses. Because she opened up her mind to false teaching. And you always had to sit under the gospel of false teaching. You can hear the true gospel right here, and you go out there, and Satan begin to whisper to some thing in the world that want to come in and sow it right through your heart. See? You shall not surely die. All you could do it is all right. I mean, there's no harm in that. You ought to be moderate. You can't be a fanatic. You can't go on extremes. See, you ought to be moderate. Take a little social drink if you want. Or nothing too wrong if you do this and do the other and have some little traditional. It's harmless. It's innocent. See? Thou shalt have none other gods but me. Look at Revelation 2:20. Look how it is moving on from John time. Look how it's moving on, and then it's prophesied to the last days, which we have already read. How that seduction is going to come. Revelation chapter 2. Verse 18 and 19 is speaking. He is addressing the church and commending them for the works and the love and service and patience. And verse 20 says, notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, who calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants, to commit fornication, and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. Thou hast partaken of things back there. That mystery of iniquity had already begun to work. That seed that was sown there, that perverted truth, just like in the Garden of Eden. Let me 5 minutes here just to strike this and bring it to a place you can see what I'm talking about. You see, back there, Paul saw it. 2 Corinthians 11, we took it many times since we've been in this. In verse 1 to 4, he says, I fear as the serpent beguile or seduce Eve, so do these corrupt your minds from the simplicity that is in Christ. These that come, soon another seed, in other words, or preaching another gospel, which you're opening up your womb to and becoming impregnated with. See, then later on Jude says, and some of you have gone the way of Cain. That's why in Revelation chapter 2 verse 7 he says, he promised them to eat of the tree of life. Because it's already fallen, like even the Garden of Eden was already seduced. But this time God don't block them. God stands there in the midst of his church, but giving them the promise that he's going to bring them back to it. He's going to redeem his church. He's going to lift her out. He give her a seed. He give her a promise of restoration. I will restore, saith the Lord. See, he's going to bring it back. But it's all coming back now in the last days. But look at it. Look at it. He knowing that that seed of error was going to, that was planted, was the same as the serpent had planted a seed. Because he says, as the serpent beguile Eve, should have these. So many churches today, even this country, it's pathetic. They hold on to the mess because they know the message is right. They're trying to walk in the truth because they believe that that came from God. But you know what happened? So much people have opened up the womb already. There's so much false interpretation. They let so much men mess up their minds and plant their ideas and their interpretations and play around with them and manhandle them. They were never taught to hold a virtue sacred and how to behave themselves around men, which is preachers. And because of that, they receive so much of perverted seed that today many are bringing forth a life that cannot be identified by the word of this hour to be the token. It's not the original life. It's something hybrid. It's a hybrid faith. Problems come and they don't have the courage and the backbone to stand. Obstacles before them and they don't have the perseverance to press their way through it. In under the heat of the trial, they begin to wilt and fall up and dry up. And they're trusting and hoping that something happened. See? But they fail to realize the reason that the life in them cannot resist and face the challenge is because it is perverted life. And it came true because every time you are sprayed with false teaching, you die. Yeah.
Amen. That's right.
And you been sprayed with that poison spray. Your mind is becoming corrupted. Because they didn't have a summer 3 and 4 months. The few moments they sit down under that serpent, they begin to die.
Amen.
But while they were sitting under the voice of God, but they could never die. They would be more enlightened and more enlightened and more enlightened.
Amen.
So you can't stand there going to remain stagnated.
Amen.
But people want to make that different in this age. It cannot change. And Paul saw that when Eve, that mystery of iniquity, Satan wanted to become in flesh, but he couldn't create a body like God. So he got into the serpent, that link, that had a seed so close to Adam's seed that could mix with Eve's egg. And he could open up the door into the human race. In other words, infiltrate the human race. It was so close it could get past Eve's defenses that you could reason with it and become confused by it. Instead of she resist it, she said right there hoping it could be right. And that's what a lot of people doing, sitting on a false teacher and hoping it could be right. And it's false because it's a perversion of the original word. And the spirit that spoke the original word would not come upon another vessel and pervert it. Is that right?
Amen.
Let me say that again. The spirit that spoke the original word would not come upon another person and pervert the original word. And if that spirit is upon that prophet brought that original word, and that spirit has come back upon another minister, he will not pervert what that prophet said.
Amen.
It was the spirit speaking to the prophet.
Amen.
And the spirit and the bride is saying the same thing what the prophet says, because what the prophet said was already laid in the word.
Amen. That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Exactly. That's why you've seen a species being born. It's not Pentecostals, but it's not bride either. You get me? What is producing that? The word of God could only produce a son of God and a daughter of God. Is that right? The word of God cannot produce anything else. Why? Because every seed brings forth after its kind. Then how come you seen this species? You can't say it's Pentecostals, but you can't say it, there is bride, there's wheat like the first one that was raised either. Amen?
Amen?
Then Satan has got a hold of that link that is bringing a seed so close that is actually seducing churches that they cannot bring forth that true word to reflect him. Because he was the corner wheat and the good seed he sowed was the wheat. Is that right? And if he was the corner wheat and the seed he was planting, the word, it was the revelation of himself. Because it produced after its kind and it brought forth wheat, which was the children of God. And they were just him in a multiplied form. Amen?
Amen. That's right.
But that mystery that had started there, when it came through the serpent mouth, that false teaching, what did it do? From there, it began to grow. Out came Cain. From Cain, it began to spread through the earth. Then it produced a whole harvest in that antediluvian age. And then what happened? After that, out came Ham, out the ark. And through Ham came Cush. And Cush begat Nimrod. And up to Nimrod again, now you had one claiming he was the woman's seed. A bill of Babylon was bringing the whole world to worship him as God. Is that right?
Amen.
Exactly right there. That seed, that mystery of iniquity worked and worked and worked until it headed up in Nimrod, who sat there claiming to be God. Claiming to be the fulfillment of the promise, claiming to be the Redeemer himself instead of the Son of God, like you have today. That mystery of iniquity already had begun to work. But when that began to work, we're going to pick it up and you're going to see that, remember when they came out of the ark, everybody believed in one God. Is that right?
Yeah. Amen.
And how from Genesis 9, when Noah came out of the ark, and they believed in one God, and Noah built the altar, and they worshiped that God, and the rainbow came down? How come in Genesis 10 and 11, now you have satanic worship? A whole perversion, a mystery Babylon sitting down there. And Nimrod sitting there and bringing all the whole world to pay tribute to his city. And that Babylon that started there is a type as this Babylon that is here today. Is that right?
Yeah.
Because Babylon never went out of existence. It started in the beginning of the Bible, coming through the middle of the Bible, and ended up in the end of the Bible.
Yeah.
It never went out of existence.
Amen.
Now watch. I'm finished. If it never went out of existence,
then what we have then, how then, if you could see how it came into existence, it came into existence by a false seed being planted in Adam's bride in her womb. And it started to grow from there until it headed up into that false religion. Is that right?
Amen.
Exactly.
That's right.
And how did it start off in the New Testament? How many of the Roman Catholic Church was part of the original Apostolic Church?
Amen. That's right.
Did all believe in one God at one time?
Amen.
Exactly right.
Amen.
And then they begin to drift away from the original word. Is that right?
Amen.
You're going to see how Cush was the first one who brought in, split up that one God into three. And when Cush brought it in, and he was the one who started to build the city of Babel, the kingdom of Babel, and then Nimrod brought it and established it, and Nebuchadnezzar brought it to its full glory. Amen? And you watch and see how that same thing, when it comes true in the New Testament, it comes the same way. It was men who was part of the original apostolic church that believe in one Lord, one faith, one baptism. But when that serpent seed begins to be planted and that bride that begins to be seduced and that false teaching begins to come forth, it begins to take it to the depth of Satan until it brought forth that kind of religion. And that's exactly, God had to raise up men like Shem, and men like Enoch, and different men to fight, to bring that truth and keep it and preserve it. Then Noah took it through the flood. He took the original truth that Adam and Shem and Seth and them established in the earth. And Noah came over the ark and started with that truth. Is that right?
Amen.
Because where Adam was the head of that race before the flood, Noah now was the head of the race after the flood.
Amen.
He was given to go and multiply and replenish the earth because he was the head of the human race on the earth. Is that right?
Amen.
Exactly. And then what happened? Inside of that original faith that it started with, and God coming that token and so on, you watch and see where it ended up in. From a time after to Ham come there. Remember, Ham was Noah's son. Noah's grandfather was Methuselah. Methuselah and Adam walk and talk together. Is that right? Noah and Methuselah was together. When Methuselah died, it was the sign for Noah to go into the ark. So Noah had that original truth. And when they started there in that new age, after the flood, look what happened. Then right among the elect is where the perversion started. After Noah died, men begin to raise up, speaking things. See, going forth, all strange kind of things that have come. Is that right? You watch in the Bible and see. And you see all that Babylon, the Old Testament, come into establishment. But where did it start off? In that serpent seed right in the Garden of Eden.
Amen. That's right.
That was the seed of that satanic religion where Lucifer wanted to be worshipped as God on the earth. And where do you think the seed for this mystery Babylon today was sown? You see, right there was men right there in that church. Friends, if we could only see the reality of the truth and see in this day what we are faced with, and we who are called as believers to stand, the responsibility we have as a believer, that you close your eyes to it tomorrow and you fail to shed that light for your children, to your family, to your loved ones. We live in a dark age, and a few of us here among the 6 billion on the planet today. That is all coming under the World Council of Churches, a few who's going to be pressed out, who this truth has come back to. But this is the heritage, and in this word is bringing us to a place where God, he says, I will dwell in the tents of Shem. And then how God came down after Noah had died, and then God come down in Abraham
And God take one man. Because Adam had failed, Noah had failed. Both of them covenants. Man can keep them. And then God and Abraham made an unconditional covenant. And Abraham became the head of a new race. The head of his family. Is that right?
Yes.
You watch Genesis and see. You take Genesis from Adam to Noah to the flood. Adam was the head of that race. Then from Noah became the head of the race again after that. And then from Noah to Abraham, the genealogy goes from Noah right to Abraham. And then God coming to Abraham and starting Abraham. And Abraham, the seed was going to come that was promised Eve back in the Garden of Eden and bring in the whole earth again. Is that right?
Yes.
Amen. We stay in that word, you watch and see. And may God quicken it to you. You can see what we are receiving, what we are holding on to today. May you hold on to your dear life. Get away from false teaching. Get away from denominations. Walk away from these things. Amen. Come out from among that confusion and come to the true word. Amen. And take a real stand for truth. We're going to worship God in this hour. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. You believe his word tonight? Amen. You watch and see Satan as a whole of a species today that is bringing forth a very close species, a twin. You see, let me see this. The serpent and Adam was not twins. Amen? But when the serpent planted his seed in Eve's womb with Adam's seed, they brought twins. They brought twins. One is a true fivefold ministry in the body. One is a fivefold ministry outside of the body. One is preaching the whole word. One is preaching part of the word. Exactly right. One knows the word by what happened. One knows you by what is happening. One is showing a historical seed that make people only look back and praise God for what he did in the past and praise God for what he's going to do in the future. But there's one who is walking with him step by step under his headship, under his divine leadership. Amen. Oh, may we appreciate him tonight. Let's lift our hands and pray. Almighty God, as we stand in thy divine presence tonight, Father, how we appreciate thy grace and thy love and thy mercy. Oh God, to come and sit in these services night after night, day after day, and see your Holy Spirit come on the scene, reaching out to the strangers, reaching out, Lord, for the young, Lord, establishing the believers, strengthening and perfecting the faith of them, Lord God, that is growing in grace and in knowledge of the Lord Jesus, bringing a church to perfection, Lord, in this hour, to truly manifest the fullness of Jesus Christ upon the face of the earth. Keep us walking under the divine leadership of the Holy Spirit. Keep us under the divine influence of your word, dear God. Lord, make it more real to our hearts. Unveil it, make it plain. Inspire it, Lord. Open it up to us tonight, Lord. Let it be so real unto us. Heavenly Father, I pray you give understanding. Let the light shine into the hearts and minds of your children. Blow away the darkness where there's confusion, where there's doubt, where there's misunderstanding, where there's fear, oh God. Bring an anchor to the souls of your children that they will know how to walk, how to live, how to stand in this hour. They will know in whom they believe in and is persuaded that you are able to keep that which they commit unto you even against that day. Heavenly Father, may you grant it, Lord, how we love you and appreciate you. How we thank you for your grace, oh God. How we thank you for your word tonight. Blessed be your wonderful name. Oh God, we appreciate you, Lord. We give glory and honor and praise unto you. Oh my God, as we leave this place, Lord God, may we leave
Lord, in humility and sincerity, with a desire to walk closer with a prayer in our heart. Lord, to consecrate our lives, Lord, and become more yielded and surrendered unto you, Lord. Oh, God, to doubt completely and see our flesh become the Word. The Word becoming flesh and our flesh becoming the Word, Lord. Bring us to the full stature of Jesus Christ in this hour. Grant it, oh God. Bless the young ones, oh God. Open up the Word to them, inspire to them, make it real in their hearts, dear God. Give us a desire to pray. Give us a desire to read that Word. To lay in it, oh God, to wait before you, Lord. Oh God, more about Jesus would we know. More of His grace to others show. More of His saving fullness see. More of His love who died for me. Oh God, grant it tonight. Bless your children, Father. Bless the deacons, the trustees. Bless your workers in this assembly. Bless, oh God, every family that is represented here tonight. I pray, dear God, as you press this battle, as you fight this great fight of faith. Oh God, may encourage your hearts, your children, as you walk in this evil hour. May, oh God, your divine presence be like a wall of fire round about us. Oh God, even throughout this week, dear God, may we remain under the guide and influence and leadership of the Holy Spirit. Lord, lead and direct us in the paths of service. Dear God, may you bring us back on Friday night. We can come and pray, oh God, to get your promise. The reason many people don't get into the spirit of revelation, they don't pray and dig deep enough. And as we come, we want to get down and pray and get in the spirit and dig down deep and get in the spirit of revelation like John was in the spirit, oh God. And then he began to reveal these great mysterious things to him. And he cried out, even so come, Lord Jesus. Oh, how it burned his heart, Lord. So we pray, dear God, as we come to pray, we'd trim our lamps and you'd fill us with oil. Oh, God, oil, Lord, you'd pour the fresh portion of the Holy Spirit into our hearts. And the inside teacher could teach us further on these truths. Oh, God, the Spirit, Lord, could take us deeper into these things. God, may you go and search out the deep things of God. Hallelujah, because the spirit of man cannot know it, Lord. But may the spirit of Christ bring it back to remembrance and teach us and show us things to come. The Lord, we might just walk in this light and have fellowship with you, and your blood might cleanse us. We might stand sinless, spotless, virtuous in thy presence. Lord, may you grant it, Father, because thou knowest our hearts, how we want to truly serve you and live for you in this hour. To be what you want us to be. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Go with us safely to our homes. Take us safely. Watch over us and protect us, Lord. And God, may you keep us in that presence. Keep us under your influence. May we love each other, Father. Let the basis of love go greater and greater. As the scriptures say, the love of when iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But your prophet said, among the elect there will be true love. Oh, God. Lord, we love your appearing. We love one another who is called to see that appearing. To Lord, and as we are united with you, then we come united with each other. Then we come united with the sleeping saints when they raise up. Then, Lord God, we all gather together and become united with you, the great eternal for all eternity. Oh, God, may God go on and on, keep unfolding, getting deeper and deeper. Grant it, Lord. We thank and we praise you. In Jesus' wonderful and precious name, amen. Amen. God bless you. May I have a seat. Amen. If you get ready to go, we want to sing this song. I know in whom I believe, and I'm persuaded. He is able to keep that which I commit unto him, even against that day. Amen. Come on Friday night. Let's come pray up. Let's get in the spirit. Amen. That God can take us this church higher, take us deeper, strengthen the weak places. Amen. Build us up where we need to be built up. Fill us with a greater measure of His Holy Spirit. Let's just get in there, amen, and hang in and hold fast to the Word, knowing He will perform what He has spoken. I believe it. No one. amen, but I know.
Whom I believe in, and I'm persuaded that he is in.
Oh, sing it in faith.
Keep that which I've committed unto him against that day.
I know not how to save in faith. Watch it wrought peace in your heart. Give you assurance and comfort. Take away your fears.
But I know I believe.
Oh, and I'm persuaded. Hallelujah.
Convincing men of sin,
oh, revealing Jesus through the word. I trust he did come and play with you tonight. Christ revealing his own word, the mystery of God revealed, creating faith in him.
Yeah.
God's wondrous grace. I know not how the saving faith to meet in the pot. I know not how the Spirit moves. Amen. I know not what of good or ill. I know not when my Lord may come, but I know in whom I believe in. I may not know all them things, but I know in whom I believe in. Amen. That He is able tonight. Do you know He's able? Could we say He's able? He's able. I know my Lord is able. I know my Lord is able to carry me through. Amen. He is able. I know my Lord is able. I know my Lord is able to carry me through. Amen. He is able. He is able. Able. Doesn't make you feel good on me to sing and worship Him. It's in all the burden get lifted. Amen. Could we sing another song before we leave? Amen. Just to worship Him, just to give Him thanks, just to get happy. Do you know if you sang the song, that the joy of the Lord is your strength? That's the truth. You just keep worshiping Him. Don't let the devil steal that joy now. It's not just song here, the word all's cowardly. It's to get happy. Amen. When you see what God have done for you, amen. When you see what He means to you. When you see how secure He have made you, amen. When you see He has chosen you, elected you, it's impossible for you to be deceived. He have kept you from falling, amen. Bring you up faultless, hallelujah. Made you to stand, amen. Glory. You can be convinced He's able. He's more than able to keep what you commit unto Him, even against that day. Blessed be His name. Amen. What a fellowship tonight. Let's just sing it before we go. What a joy divine. I'm leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way. Is it sweet for you? Have you confessed you're a pilgrim and a stranger? Here we have no continuance, but we seek one to come. Amen. Hallelujah. Just confess it. Let the devil know it. Amen. This Satan's evil will pass away. God is going to purify it with volcanic under that fixed seal and bring it back for a millennium. Amen. Glory. Oh, what a promise we have tonight. Hallelujah. The second Adam and the second Eve going back. Glory to that Eden, to that great millennium reign. Think about it. Both masterpieces coming back again. Hallelujah. There'll be a bride who will not be deceived. She'll stand virtuous. He has found a virtuous woman in this hour. Oh my. The path may grow dark sometimes, but that don't mean He's left us, friend. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's right here. Just say, Jesus, wake up and let Him come on the scene. Go into action, amen. Glory be to God. What a fellowship tonight. What
a joy divine leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace of mind. Safe and secure from all alarm. Leaning, oh, lean on him tonight, pilgrim. Just lean on the everlasting arms. It revealed to you the arm of the Lord. Oh, how sweet to walk, how sweet to walk.
Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord.